So any points, because I didn't attend, I think 29, so any main points you all remember?
The point you discussed was like Arjuna symptoms, like which were, there are two similar symptoms if you are in transcendental ecstasy as well as you are in material fear. So his symptoms were towards the material fear. And then we talked about this excessive, because he was like in the excessive attachment towards material life, which put him into the bewildering condition.
Mm.
And then he decided that nimittani viparittani, like why I'm here, like the. Because it was confusing for him, then he didn't see any good thing coming out of war, so he was questioning himself, why am I
here? Very good.
So, these are all the first reason, right? So, 28, 29, 30,
yeah,
it covers the first reason.
Yeah.
And what was the first reason he gave?
Compassion.
So, compassion, yeah. And also, the in 29, I liked this one, Gandhivam Shram Sate Sat, right? He says, you know, the Gandiva bow, Gandiva is slipping from my hand and my skin is burning. And we know that Arjuna was a so powerful fighter, right? He was a Maharathi. So if he feels like that, he, you know, like he's shivering and his Gandiva's bow is slipping. And all the enemies, whenever he used to take that bow and arrow, everybody used to get, you know, the fear. In the heart, the fear used to arise. But now Arjuna is, you know, he's acting like an ordinary man. So he's showing the symptoms of fear. How on the material platform, if you have the fear, I have experienced many times. Whenever you have that fear, something, right, you start your ear, automatically it will all stand up. Something, it stands up, then you start shaking, right? So that's all on material fear. And also, I don't know whether Shyamala covered this, but we need to know, we need to differentiate, should be able to differentiate between the material ecstasy of the people when they show it out of fear, and the people show it out of the transcendental nature, like this thing. Otherwise, you will get easily deceived. People will deceive. And it's not, and usually on the material platform, nobody shows up, even if they are very sincere devotees, they don't show the symptoms. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada and all, in a public, whenever he used to talk something, you know, very, like a touching subject matter, if he is really going to the pure devotion service, lot of times he stopped, he took, you know, few seconds to control himself. He never, you know, showed the tears or, you know, all this. He never spoke about Radha Krishna or intimate, you know, all the past tense and all. He never spoke about all those things. So usually the people doesn't show their symptoms, transcendental symptoms, to a general public. They don't show those things. So it's very, very uncommon to see the symptoms. So if we see generally people they show, that means they are on Sahajiya platforms very cheaply. They take devotion service very cheaply. So next time if somebody comes or if you visit some temples or something, if they start acting, you know, you will notice. Generally it's very common.
But so sometimes it also like, I'm not in that platform, but when we listen to kirtan, sometimes tears comes. It's not like, but for no reason, no apparent reason which I can give an explanation why it's happening, but it feels like that.
It can be a, you know, what do they say, it's just a drop, you know, tip of iceberg. Maybe you may feel that connection with the God, Krishna, that time, but it disappears, it's not complete.
Yeah, it doesn't stay like a...
That's a genuine, it's not that, you know, it's a genuine feeling.
I don't think that is transcendental emotion.
you're missing, you remember that
like
love of
Krishna. Yeah, I mean, at least my personal experience has been that music, you know, and if your music is, it transcends boundaries,
yes,
and all, right?
Yes, yeah.
You will be in one set of emotions, you know, you'll be like all stressed for work and all, and you come here, and then you are completely drowned in that, you know, kirtan, you know, it's humming, it's very good tune, and you are seeing God. So I think it's like a different set of human emotions that come through.
Yes.
And then once that stops, and then you are rushed
you'll
because
be back
of
to it.
Yeah.
So in verse number 30, in first four lines, we discussed about some main topic. What was that? One of you can tell. Narish Prabhu, Mahadev Mataji. First four lines, we discussed about one topic and lot of examples. We also gave an antidote in the purport, verse number 30. So you can, okay, specifically look at third and fourth line.
Yeah, Selfishness will lead to lamentation. Selfishness in material platform, selfishness in spiritual platform will lead to serving Krishna and unlimited bliss. So you can cultivate attachment to Krishna so that you can serve him in his way that he likes.
So nobody is in the class.
No, so what is even excessive attachment?
Like mobile, someone fell on the mobile. So we're giving an example, right? So don't be so much attached to these things, or use these things in the service of Krishna.
Yeah, so what is the antidote we recommended?
You should attach to his devotees.
Yeah. You should transfer that attachment to devotees, then that will bring us closer to Krishna. So that is the one aspect is negativity. What happens, we discuss about different examples. How by excessive attachment we will be confused. Lot of examples so that it can drain this point inside. And then we discuss about what is the positive, how to convert it into positive way. Then, Mataji talked about Arjuna is saying, why am I here? Because he is seeing only Nivittani, Vipritani, all his causes. He thought this war is going to give him happiness because he is going to have kingdom, he can enjoy with his family, friends. But now what he is seeing is, when I kill all these people, who am I going to enjoy with? So he is seeing the cause for which he wants to fight the war, it's getting opposite of that. So he is getting completely, he is seeing all reverses. So I just today only we were discussing actually. So usually we have this misconception that okay, we have so much faith in Krishna, or initially we have that this thing that okay, now I surrender to Krishna, or I begin to surrendering to Krishna, my life will be all rosy, nothing will happen. No, it's like I should walk on roses, right? But that's not the right understanding of spirituality or Krishna consciousness. Krishna will definitely protect his devotees as he promises, but he protects the spiritual spiritual advancement of the devotee. It doesn't mean he'll protect necessarily the body or you know something material. See, even in Kurukshetra war, Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, is ready to fight. He fights very nicely, but what happens? He had to face the death of his son, his very dear son Abhimanyu. On front of his own eyes, he has to be killed. So at that time, Arjuna's faith is so strong in Krishna. At that time, he didn't question to Krishna. Okay, I followed Bhagavad Gita. He said, Sarvadharma Parityaja, no sinful reactions. I followed that. I followed the war. Why this is happening? So that is the amount of devotion they have in the Lord. It's,
it's unconditional.
Unconditional devotional service. Pure devotional service.
Prabhupada has written in one line where I have read that. So when you get into this Krishna consciousness, it's like switching of the fan. The fan is still, it will still be rotating.
Yeah,
it's
little
not
bit.
That immediately
yes.
It will
correct,
stop.
Correct.
So your karmic effect will still be continuing
yes.
until a certain period, and then your spiritual platform you.
That's correct. Yeah. So immediately not stop. For example, we have conditionings, right? Conditioning to eat sweet. Or let's say conditioning to becoming anger, right? Or so many things we have cultivated over so many lifetimes. So that thing will be there. Of course, devotions are so powerful that it can actually subside all those conditionings and give us the spiritual qualities. Krishna himself decorates the spiritual qualities by which we will be attracted to Krishna. But it takes very sincere practice and lot of mercy. Mercy from whom? Mercy from Krishna's devotees. Especially like best way to make advancement is to serve advanced devotees. Serving in many ways. Here if there are senior devotees who are giving like lectures and like that, discourses, we hear from them, that is the service. And other way is to actually whatever their service is, usually they are very humble. If you go and tell, okay, I'm going to take your shoes or iron your clothes, they will not allow you to do. Those are actually the menial service we should do. That is the best way to make advancement. But they don't allow all those things because they themselves are very humble. So what do we need, what we can easily do is, if they are doing some service, usually Krishna services are very, challenging. The Krishna will increase the bar. So they will be pushing themselves to do that service. If you just go and help them in that service, that's the best way to make advancement. This little small thing or whatever. So, that's one point. Okay, so we'll start it.
Start with today's text 31. We can recite together Sanskrit words.
Nacha shreyo anupashyami atva sajanam ahave nakaṁshe vijayam krishna nacha rajyam sukami cha.
One more time.
Nacha shreyo anupashyami atva sajanam ahave nakaṁshe vijayam krishna nacha rajyam sukami cha.
I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom or happiness. Perfect. Without knowing that one's self-interest is in Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by bodily relationships, hoping to be happy in such situations. In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the causes of material happiness. Arjuna appears to have even forgotten the moral codes for a Kshatriya. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the Kshatriya who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders, and the person in the renounced order of life who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, are eligible to enter into the sun globe, which is so powerful and dazzling.
Yeah, we'll pause here, Prabhu. There are some many points we can discuss it. Okay. Can start. Shreya, please.
So this text we Arjuna starts with the second reason. Right? So he's saying desire any subsequent victory, kingdom or happiness. So the second reason is
happiness. No happiness.
So what Arjuna meant? So even if he gains the whole kingdom, right? Because he will not have anybody, right? Usually if you have a wealth or anything, so what's the main thing? Generally if you, let's think. So if you have a wealth or something, right? Money, big house, or what do you do with that generally?
Enjoy, celebrate with family.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
You invite people or you share your wealth with charity like that. So you need somebody to enjoy. But in this case, Krishna, like Arjuna is saying, after killing everybody, what do I do with the kingdom? There is no use. So that's why he is saying there is no happiness from this thing. And in this first line, right, Sanskrit, Nacha Shreyo Anupasyami. So Prabhupada talks about in his lecture about Shreyas. Shreyo means it's Shreyas. He says, so there are two things, Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas is, it's good. It's basically ultimate good. In a long term sense. Prayas means the immediate good. Like, you know, so Prabhupada gave example of kids, like small child, right? So the child, they just want immediate pleasure. So they all the time, they want to run, go and play. But the parents knows what's their shreyas, the ultimate good. So they allow for some time, but after that they bring them back and they make them study, right? They give homework, everything. Because they know, if the kids doesn't get trained or educated, the future will be not good for them, right? They will waste their future. So Arjuna here, he is thinking rightly, saying, you know, he is thinking, if I don't have the kingdom in future, I will not be able to. So it's a long term, he is planning for a long term. But what's the wrong with this idea? He is thinking correctly, it's a stress, it's ultimate good. But on what platform he is thinking?
Material platform.
Yeah, so he is thinking on the bodily platform, material platform. That, you know, my again, Swajana, right? We discussed that. My people, my family, my relatives, like that. But here, Prabhupada in purport, he starts with the first line. Without knowing that one self-interest is in Vishnu or Krishna. So that's what Prabhupada calls real shreyas. That's a real shreyas. So whatever we do, if we do it, you know, as a devotion to Krishna or Vishnu, that's going to give you the ultimate good. That's the ultimate goal. So because we discussed many times that all this bodily attachments to family, friends, everything, if you don't give them, finally at the end of the day, if you don't bring them closer to devotional service, it's all useless. You have not really done anything good to your family members. So, we have to, we have to think about this. You know, are we bringing our family members closer to devotional service, or keeping them wherever they are, or taking away from that? So, that's a very important practical point for everybody to think.
So, in that same lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, that is the general conception right now. Anybody, if you think anybody, you ask anybody what is, what is the concept of happiness? Okay, if I have a good job, I have money, my wife is happy, my kids are settled, kids are married, they have kids, my family is good, then I'm happy. That's the general conception of happiness. But the problem is, as we discussed, it's a material conception. So because of that, there is transmigration. What is transmigration?
Happiness.
You are born again in the cycle of birth and death. Yes. Because you are so attached to that bodily concept and wife and family relationships, so you will be born again to face the same situation. Actually, in that lecture, where he was telling, if there are very severe enemies, next life usually they will be born as husband and wife to take, to take that revenge. Then you can't really escape, right? You can easily, fix your last past debts, whatever is remaining. So
it's true if you think, right? It's true. Because if you're enemy,
you always think about the other person, right?
Person.
All
so
the
you'll
time.
Be born here. So you put face to face, but of course with lot of material loss in between. Husband and wife means you are bound by some lot of things. So you cannot really do a lot of things, but you'll be stuck. So that way we learn lessons.
And
that's why we are putting.
Yeah, another example was Prabhupada is telling yesterday, like svajana, the concept of svajana is so mysterious. Like if suppose I have a pocket and I have money in my pocket. And if some pickpocketer comes and takes my money, then I will call police and ask him to catch him and report everything, right? But I come home and my wife and my kids, they take from my pocket, they spend all the money, then I'm happy.
Oh.
Right? Like, oh, that's what he takes. Let him take. Oh, it's my family, my wife, my kid. So, that's the concept. So, what is the difference, right?
Act is the same, but the committer is different.
Yeah, it's a feeling of mine.
Yeah.
No, it's feeling of mine. But the same wife, let's say some big this thing happens and you divorce, and they are trying to take money during the divorce, then you don't want to give.
Yeah.
Now she is no longer mine, right? Now she's somebody, maybe she married somebody or whatever. So it's so much, it's all that conception of me and mine. It's all bodily conception.
And Prabhupada very strongly says, particularly points out to India, because India, it has changed so much from the time we saw how the spiritual things were. But later he says that, people are becoming very selfish. And you can see, I can tell for sure, in our family itself, my father or any my brother-in-law and all, they try to accumulate so much money. Somewhere or the other, they want to make more money. For whom? I've asked many times my brother-in-law and all. He says, my son or their, they plan for future. They don't even know whether they will exist maybe after next hour. So anything can happen. But the vision they have, it's about my family. Let me accumulate. I'm not going to eat now or I'm not going to spend. But my kids or their grandsons, they are going to use it. So very Prabhupada, chastises that.
This concept, I'll just tell a small story. So one time when the Pandavas were in the Vanavasa, right? So they went to take water from a lake, right? Yudhishthira Maharaj kept sending everyone, but there was a yaksha there saying that you have to answer the question.
Yeah.
And nobody would listen to him, so he had killed them. So finally Yudhishthira will go. He'll ask a series of questions, but one of the questions is, what is the most astonishing thing in the human race? And he'll say, every man, every woman, they keep diet, but
But everyone thinks that they won't die and they keep accumulating stuff more and more and
they finally die. Yeah, finally they die. It's very practical. Because everything finally boils down to Swajana. My people, my relative. That's what's the basic starting point in spiritual life?
I'm not the body.
Yes. That's ABCD of it's ABCD of the spiritual life. But we have so strong attachment to the body, we cannot, you know, it's not easy to give up that. So it needs a lot of serious practice and serious, you know, everybody should understand, and gradually one day we can come to that platform to give up that conception.
So regarding Shreyas, actually this is a different concept, but it's good to know in this context. So essentially Vedas, right? We have heard Vyasadeva has compiled the Vedas, four Vedas. But mainly 90% of the Vedas, they talk about yagyas you can do in this world to gain some benefits. Basically fruitive activities. Fruitive activities, you perform such and such yagya, karmakanda, you get something. Oh, like let's say you want to eat meat every 15 days to Kali, in such and such way you offer meat and offer goat and eat meat. So Vedas have this prescribed sacrifices to gradually uplift the people. See, if that is not there, people are not ready to say, oh, stop everything. People are not ready. So they will be unrestricted killing. Instead of that, this is a gradual way to somehow tame them. So what happens is eventually, so people by this gradually they start thinking about, initially their conception is today, whatever gives me happiness today I'm going to do. Limited. So I'm talking about Shreyas and prayers. So they are so much in prayers platform. Whatever I want now, I'm going to do. Right? So if I eat now, I'm going to get happiness, so I'm going to eat. That's what. But slowly while practicing these sacrifices, they will realize that because in yagya, at the end they say, even though they do puja to Ganesha or other demigods, finally they say, yagya purusha Vishnu, you come and take it. I don't know the exact Sanskrit words they call. So it is said that these people blindly they do these yagyas, and finally after a long time they will ask, oh, what is this? He finally you are saying, Vishnu, you take it. Who is this Vishnu? Then they said, okay, if you do yagyas, you may go to heavenly planets, but after going there, you will again come back. So, okay, I am doing this yagya, I am practicing, like let's say, austerity and charity in this life, so that eventually I go to heavenly planets. That's also Shreyas. But still in material platform, because I will go to heavenly planets and come back. But when they hear that, oh, it's going to Vishnu, then they will ask, oh, who is this Vishnu? Then they will figure out going to Vishnu is actually the ultimate thing, because we will not come back again. Then they will say, okay, that is the Shreyas I want. So then the concept of Shreyas increases, expands, and now they say, okay, now I want to serve Vishnu, which is the ultimate Shreyas. Ultimate Shreyas is to serve Krishna or Vishnu and to surrender to him.
So, and also one point to note here, if we don't know our Shreyas, what's ultimate good, and we fall under the material laws, Prabhupada says material laws are cold. Cold means they don't differentiate whether you are, you know, good person. We have this, you know, like I would put it as a false conception, like, you know, people say I'm doing good, some things, but that may not really fall under the real stress, as we said, right? Self-interest is in Vishnu. If you know, that's the ultimate stress. But if you don't really do that, we fall under the material clutches of material nature. And that's very cold-blooded, right? It doesn't differentiate between kid or adult.
The child goes and puts...
Yeah, if the child goes and puts, you know, goes to the fire, the fire doesn't say that, you know, oh, you are a child, I'm not going to burn you. Fire doesn't say. Fire is going to burn, whether it's a child or it's going to be a big adult. So Prabhupada says, if you're not really following the real stress, going in the path of real stress, but we are, then otherwise we will be in the material clutches of Maya or material nature, which is going to, finally, you know, it's so harsh. And also he gives example of the current society, where he says everybody is a blind man. If you take the top leader, who is supposed to be a Brahmanas, who guides, we'll discuss there a few more points the next thing. But Prabhupada says, blind men following the blind. So what will happen to the final, what's the result? Everybody will fall into the ditch. So that's where the our current majority of the people follow. That's how it's
happening. So this one really nice, Swami Radhika Swami Ramayana, that book, Back to Godhead. So in that, like, when he went, so there was all skeleton and one note was hanging there. And that note read, like, what you are, we used to be, and what we are, you will be. So it was like really nice way to convey that.
Yeah. Okay, one more point. Here is this point actually our teacher has pointed, so I wanted to share with you so you can make a note. Here this point Prabhupada says in third line, right? In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the causes of material happiness. So what does this mean? In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the causes of material happiness. So this means that in this bodily concept of life, they forget that cause of material happiness is to follow dharma. So in that bodily concept of life, everybody wants to get happiness. But if it's so blind that we want to get happiness without... So even to get material happiness, we need to follow certain codes of dharma. That's the point. So... it's not like, of course, it is said that when you are born, what amount of material happiness, distress you are going to get, it's already destined. But still, we need to work in order to get that. So we cannot say, oh, I want to get a good car and I sit at home idle without doing any work, right? So you have to go to a particular office, earn the money, get the money and buy. You have to do your duty. Then only you will get that happiness. So that's what is Arjuna's problem. He wants to be materially happy, but he wants to give up his dharma of fighting. That's what is Prabhupada's point here.
And also the other point, the renounced order of life, who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, all eligible to enter into the sun globe, which is so powerful and dazzling. So it's interesting, right? So this means there are living entities on the sun globe also. So there are people who resides, there are living entities who resides in sun globe. Can we imagine? We cannot. As we know, right, there are all material nature is consists of 8 material elements, right? What are those? Earth, water, fire, air, ether,
mind,
intelligence, and false ego. Our body is mostly made up of?
Any biologist?
Water.
Yeah,
how much? 72 or 75%, and the remaining is earth metal. Right? Once we, you know, die,
metal.
Yeah, metal, all these things combination. Once you die, you know, there's nothing remains. Everything absorbs into earth. So, Prabhupada in the lecture says, so in fire, in the sun globe, there are living entities whose body is made up of fire. So it's not a surprise. Why we can have it, right? We can, if we have air in earth planet with made up of earth and water. Why cannot we have it in sun? Its body is made up of the fire. Like for example, water. If you take fish, right? It lives in water. Can we live in water? We cannot live. But if you take the fish out of water, it immediately dies in few seconds. So that means it can live in water, but not on the outside atmosphere. So like there, also there are living entities. And also this... anyway, this, you know, scientifically, if you are very much scientific...
So you mean to say that the body of fish is made in such a way that it can reside in water,
yes,
but not
can.
Our body.
Yeah,
so it would imply that there are different types of body which can reside in sun globe, but not...
Not in earthly...
In second chapter, when Krishna talks about... First, initially, he starts introducing the concept of spirit and matter. There, he explains the nature of spirit. Then he says, spirit exists everywhere. That means not that I exist everywhere... That means the spirit soul can exist anywhere, like in earth, planet, in underground, water, any, there is no place where the soul, no, that is that soul cannot be cut. That's the difference. But just before that, I think he says that soul is like resident anywhere. So whatever, that's the same point.
So So in this Prabhupada clearly says, because these are all higher planets, right? Sun is a higher planet, Surya, Chandra, Moon. So artificially we cannot go to Moon or Sun planet. This brings no point where that Apollo, the mission they went to Moon, right?
So but they went to Moon, right?
That's right. So it depends how you take it. If you are scientifically, you know, if you believe into scientists, so that it disproves, the Vedas and the scripture disproves that you cannot, because the Moon is a higher planet, higher heavenly planet. So without having
pious credits,
a build up lot of pious credit, you cannot go to heavenly planets. So that means they did not go to Moon, and that was the Prabhupada conclusion. And there was one devotee who became Prabhupada disciple, and he was just joined Prabhupada, you know, he just took initiation, and they were watching. Prabhupada also was there, the TV they were showing the day, you know, that they were landing on the Moon. And Prabhupada told, you know, that's all false, it's all made up. They have made up, because they spent that time, 1969. So they spent billions of dollars, that kind of currency, the exchange rate. That means lots of money. And it's all taxpayers' money and all, right? So that time they spent. And they cannot, you know, if they come to know that, public come to know that they didn't really go, then the president, everything will go. Everybody, you know, nobody will vote. So to keep that, they did something to, you know, prove that they really went. So then that person also was watching the TV. And Prabhupada said, he was shaking his head, you know, he said, it's not possible. So they would have gone somewhere in intermediary planets. You know, while going, that's why once you go to the different plane, you cannot really see. I don't know, we are very limited, material things, vision is very limited. So Prabhupada said they would have landed on some other, you know, planets or whatever. There are chances of doing that, but they, for sure they cannot go to Moon, because they are not allowed. They don't have permission to go to that. And that person, yeah, he was watching, and Prabhupada said, he strongly said, yeah, they never went to Moon. Because he was so scientifically, you know, scientific mind, and also he was so, what to call, patriotic, right, to all this, the American. So he immediately left. He left his colony, he went up. Said, oh, I cannot stay here, because you are saying they did not go to Moon. Yeah, so if this proves, yeah, that's one point, I think.
So other point here is, so essentially two kinds of people, they can enter higher planets. One is a person who has a renounced order of life, or who dies directly in the battlefield. So Arjuna's issue is, okay, all these people are dying directly in front of Krishna, so they all are going to go to heavenly planets. So what is it for me? I'm going to be here, everybody is gone, I can't enjoy my kingdom with them, and I have to suffer. So that's what he's saying. These people go there, heavenly planets, they attain heavenly planets, but I have to remain here. Okay, somebody may argue, okay, you get this kingdom to enjoy, right? So why don't you do? Then he said, no, I don't want this kingdom. Nobody is there to share with, I don't want. So that's the point. Okay, we can move to the next section.
You still have to read that.
Yeah. Arjuna is reluctant.
Arjuna is reluctant even to kill his enemies, let alone his relatives. He thinks that by killing his kinsmen, there would be no happiness in his life, and therefore he is not willing to fight, just as a person who does not feel hunger is not inclined to cook.
Yeah, see, so nice example, right? Very nice example. Person who is not feeling hungry is not inclined to cook. So basically the duty, right, as a wife or the mother, duty is to cook and feed. If you are not hungry, at least maybe your husband or kids are hungry, so you want to cook for them. But he is saying like, oh, I am not feeling hungry, I am not going to cook. So I am not going to get happiness out of kingdom, I am not going to fight. Actually, the same point what Krishna addresses, he addresses in second chapter. Okay, Krishna says, 2.14, who knows this verse? I think Kiran Prabhu, you may know, Matra Sparshas. Don't know? Okay. Matra Sparshas Kaunteya, Shitoshna Sukadukkada, Agama Payano Anitya, Stam Tatikshasva Bharata. So it's 2.14.
Page 79.
So what Krishna recommends is a solution for this thing is, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of summer and winter seasons. They arise from self-perception, O Sion of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. The solution, this is actually the first instruction Krishna gives. Okay, he speaks some more, yeah. What Krishna is saying is very first thing, he is saying that just tolerate. Don't say, oh, if I do this, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'm not going to be happy. What are all these calculations? Just do in the matter of duty. Your duty is to fight, just do it. That's all. So, in course of our devotional service or in course of our work or family life, there will be so many such upheavals. Every time there is a fight at home or, you know, kids is another problem. They don't listen. You always keep thinking, oh, why am I doing all this for? They give only give me torture. So, what is the thing which keeps us going? We are seeking happiness. That's why, you know, at some level or the other, we have kids or marriage or whatever. And gradually, that's the nature of material life and married life. We have to face frustrations. Because that's how we will learn that this is not where we get happy. This is not how we become happy. So that's what everybody has to, one day or the other, realize. So while we are getting that realization, what is the solution? Should we give up the home, give up the kids, give up wife and run away somewhere and, you know, like Arjuna is going to say, I'm going to go begging. He's going to tell now. So, is that the solution? So, what's the solution?
Bring all the people into Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, somehow or the other, at least, you know, just maintain the duty platform.
It apply 214, that's the
214, solution. Just tolerate first. First, tolerate. This is going to happen. Sometimes, kid will come and give me chocolate. Sometimes, he will come and say, I didn't get good grade. So, happiness and distress are going to come. But what is this? These are because of sense perception. Means, senses are in touch with sense objects, then you will feel happiness or distress. Like, if suppose we eat something sweet, we feel nice, if somebody likes sweets. If we eat something very spicy, then we feel hot and we get burnt and we feel distress. So, this is all because of senses in touch with sense objects. So, that's all material platform. So, you should raise above and act in that spiritual platform. So, at least beginning of that is act as a duty. As a duty, what is my duty as a husband? What is the duty as a wife? What's the duty as a parent? Ultimate duty is to somehow bring everyone closer to Krishna. But within that, material duties are also there. Like husband has to work, get money, so that wife has chance to practice Krishna consciousness. Or, you know, he has creates an environment, the kids will study properly, and so many material duties also come. So those duties, we do it as a matter of duty. Then we don't get frustrated, because if we do as a matter of duty, then that means it's a detached platform. So whatever happens, you're going to do it. It's not based on what results I get. So actually in this purport, if you can read it maybe at home, because we don't want to extend today's class. 2.14 purport you can read. Very nice example Srila Prabhupada gives about tolerance. So he says, in a winter season, still somebody takes cold bath, who is inclined to spiritual life, still they take cold bath. They don't say, oh, it's winter now, okay, no, my body needs something warm, so I'm not going to take bath. So that means we are acting in sense platform. Of course, it requires practice. We don't want to do until, if we are going to get cold and, you know, we can't get up and do chanting or whatever. It requires practice. And the second one is, a person, even in hot summer, mother, she cooks in front of fire, which is going to heat up her body and make it very, very warm. She doesn't say, oh, it's so hot outside, I'm not going to go near the fire. So these are the two examples Srila Prabhupada gives to how to tolerate and do as a duty. So similar to the point Srila Prabhupada is telling here, right? Where he says, person who is not hungry, he doesn't want to cook. So it's a related point. Okay, now back to 31. Do you have some more points here? Okay, we can continue.
He has now decided to go into the forest and live a secluded life in frustration.
Yeah, but this is what is begging, we told, right? Yeah.
But as a Kshatriya, he requires a kingdom for his subsistence, but the Kshatriya cannot engage themselves in any other occupation. But Arjuna has no kingdom. Arjuna's sole opportunity for gaining the kingdom lies in fighting with his cousins and brothers and reclaiming the kingdom inherited from his father, which he does not like to do. Therefore, he considers himself fit to go to the forest to live a secluded life of frustration.
So why he doesn't want to fight? Because, you know, he feels like, whom do I engage, enjoy the kingdom? So he says, okay, I don't feel any happiness, so I'm going to give up my duty. I'm going to go to forest and live by begging. So what is the fault in that argument? Srila Prabhupada explains that. What is the problem with that? What is the principle it violates?
He is a Kshatriya and he has to obey by the Kshatriya rules.
So the duty of a Kshatriya is to rule a kingdom and then thereby live his life. That is his life of sustenance. You know, it's like that is the way he has to live. But instead of that, if you give up that duty and do something else, then it's a problem. So the verse which in Bhagavad Gita which emphasizes this point, is there are two verses. One is 3.35. You can just read the translation, I don't remember the verse also. 3.35
171. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties even though faultily than another's duties perfectly.
Yeah.
171. Distraction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is
dangerous. See, so clearly Krishna says, one should do one's own duties, even though it's faultily, even though we are not perfectly doing. But if we do others' duty perfectly, we should not do that. Because it's going to be, so duties are assigned according to our nature. Right? Even though somehow or the other we may do other things properly, we should not do that. So for us, all of us, there is no clear distinction as to where do we fit, whether Brahmana, Kshatriyas, all of us generally are Shudras. So that's why we work in so many corporate companies, all those things, right, to so many people. But we gradually, as we practice devotional service, our spiritual master will enlighten us as to what is our specific duty. Like some people, they take Brahman initiation. Some people, they instruct, like, okay, you study, you teach to others. Some people, they say, okay, you build temples. So based on the nature, spiritual master gives the duties. Then it will be clear. At that time, we should not say, oh, this person is staying home taking care of kids and my spiritual master asked me to go and work. I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do this. Then the problem comes. So that same thing will happen for us. And the next verse, same point, Krishna says, 18.47. The same actually. Initially the verses are covering the verses which are going to come later, concepts. 18.47.
It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reaction.
So that's the point. If we do duties according to the nature, we will not get sinful reactions.
So when we talk about duties here, we even discuss about like husband, wife, that kind of duty.
Right.
And then this is like four different categories in the society.
Right.
So like the duty actually is subject to only the family kind of relationship type, or the duties only goes by this social order?
No, everybody has their set of duties. Like for example, grihasthas have duties. Grihasthas have to give. Grihastha means husband and wife. They are practicing Krishna consciousness together, right? So they have duties, you know, to earn money. So they can, they have to actually give charity to qualified brahmanas, like sannyasis, right? They don't have any other living. So to the capacity we can, we have to give them charity. And other thing is, support temples. This is one of the main dharma of, and also give rights to children, bring them up to Krishna consciousness. That's one of the duties of Rastha. It's not like, you know, for my enjoyment. It's really a duty. Prabhupada said, a family life without children is, what is that life? That's what he was telling. Of course, it depends again based on nature and other circumstances. Spiritual master may give us different instruction. So for that, following, abiding by instruction of spiritual master will become our ultimate duty.
Yeah, that's actually Varanashrama system. So Varna Ashrama, right? Varna means there are four. I think if I can recall that, right?
Color, Varna is color.
No.
No?
No, it's not Kali. No, not Kali. I'm not able to find the exact verse.
Yeah, I have this verse, 4.13. But, yeah, 4.13, Chaturvarnyamaya Srishta. 4.13, Krishna says, why he established this Varnashrama system?
According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of the system, you should know that I am it, the non-doer, being unchangeable.
So the four varnas are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. So basic, if you read this purport, maybe at home, you will see Prabhupada describes each of the duties of each of them. You know, like what are their duties, how they are supposed to act. This is a social system created for, which results in everybody's progress towards spiritual life. That's why Krishna created this. It's a wholesome society, which helps in everybody's making progress. And then similarly, there are four ashramas. What are four ashramas? Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. So, parallelly one can go in the Varnas or parallelly one can go in the Ashramas also. So, I think Ashramas also Prabhupada is going to maybe not cover here. But briefly you know, right, what are the different Ashramas? Brahmachari is like 1 to 25 years. They stay at Ashram of Spiritual Master. They learn scriptures. They study all these things and assist the spiritual master in the mission. And sometimes they directly can take sannyas from there. But if they want to get married, they can enter the Grihastha ashram, marry a suitable wife. Together they work and they get money and, you know, they cultivate life and then raise Krishna conscious children. That's Grihastha ashram. That Prabhupada said, ideally it should be until 50 years. From 50 years to 75 years, all the duties are finished, all kids are settled, everything is done. The husband and wife, they go travel to different spiritual places for more detachment and more cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Then 75 onwards, if wife permits, husband, if he wants, he can take sannyas. So that's a typical system. But there are some, you could have some changes based on your nature and instructions you receive. Some people take early, some people take late, some people don't take, they remain as Grihastha throughout the life. That's also perfectly acceptable.
But life expectancy is not even things have changed.
Okay, and regarding the verse where Arjuna says that he wants to go begging, that is 2.5. Later on he says, we'll just read the translation. It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. So there Prabhupada in the purport, he chastises Arjuna again. Why he wants to go begging. And very nice point is that how nature acts. See, Arjuna is a Kshatriya spirit. Kshatriya spirit means whenever somebody provokes, we are going to attack. So one example Gauranga Prabhu gives is that, okay, Arjuna is now saying, I want to go to forest and go begging. So what will Arjuna do is he'll go to forest, he'll start begging. And somebody is there, charitable person, he wants to give something. He doesn't give him. Or he gives somebody else. Or something, some injustice he sees. Then immediately he starts attacking that person. So the nature will come out. Even though I'm going for begging, it's not like, you know, I'll be humble and peaceful and I'll do... The nature of fighting is going to come. So that's why Krishna is going to later on tell, anyway by your nature you're going to act, why don't you act under my order and get credit? That's what Krishna is going to tell later on.
So basically here Arjuna is trying to change his
nature.
He is a Kshatriya, born Kshatriya, as all the Pandavas. And here he is giving a reason, excuse, not to fight and take, Vanaprastha or Sannyas, this thing. So we cannot, it's not allowed for a Kshatriya. And the other point I wanted to tell was, as we know that, you know, Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj had many times he had approached, right, to do a compromise. He didn't want to fight. But because of Duryodhana's obstinacy, he was forced to get into this battle. And as a Kshatriya, if anybody, asks them to fight, they have to fight. As a Kshatriya, they cannot say, right? They cannot say like that. So they had to fight.
Yeah, that point, actually Yudhishthira Maharaj is very much, very sattvic. And all the Pandavas, including Draupadi, they always scold him. Like, how come you are a Kshatriya? It's very Shanta person. No, anybody does anything, he doesn't get provoked. And very much Brahmanical. So suddenly, they challenge him for the gambling match. Because he is a leader. Kshatriya's thing is, anybody challenges for gambling or war, they should not hesitate. They should go. So then he said, okay, I'm going to go. So first time when he does, actually, he wins, right? He doesn't lose anything. He wins and he starts going, okay, everything is done, I'm going to go back. While going, again Shakuni comes and says, oh, I want you to play another match. Then immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj thinks, I don't want to play. Why this thing is happening to me? Why I'm forced to do this? So seems like this is all divine arrangement. I cannot escape from this. I have to go and there is something, some plan of the Lord. So then he goes back and he loses everything. Then everybody chastises him like anything. You already went once, why you have to go again? And everything. And because he knows internally he is doing, he knows that he is submitting to the Lord's will. Sometimes in our lives also, Lord's will becomes so strong and clear, but still we have a different desire. We don't want to give it up. So that's when all this battle happens. But at some point Krishna will, there is no choice but to surrender. Otherwise you cannot proceed further in devotional service. Yeah, Krishna will make sure that happens.
So here Arjuna is forgetting his position as a Kshatriya. He forgot. And he is, he's trying to change his nature. And Prabhupada in his lecture, he mentions, current society, current time. So if you see most of the people in higher power authorities, they're all Shudras. And they are controlled by, if you take the US system, right, the government system, so there are president, everybody. They are under control of whom mainly? Vaishyas. Vaishyas means mercantile class, business people. All big corporation. Corporate world drives the most of the president, that executive team. So that's how. So there is no trained brahmanas who gives.
So ideally, how it's supposed to be?
Ideal varnashrama system, or that's how it used to be. For example, if you take Yudhishthira, he was not absolute. Oh, he didn't have absolute power. Because he had to always act under Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas.
So Brahmanas, there will always guide Brahmanas.
So Brahmanas always guide Kshatriyas. Then Kshatriyas, they perform their duties. So they never, even they have so much of power, they never used to use that power. Mm-hmm. Absolute power, they never used to use absolute power. Always they were under control. But this says there is nothing like, there is no system like that. So that's why we see so many wars, riots, everything is happening. That's the only reason, because nobody listens to nobody, and the nature is changed. Everybody is changing, there's no Brahmana class, qualified class, so everybody, Shudras, is going to go to the air. It's, flip. It's like this, from up, upside down, it's happening. Okay, we'll go to the next one, 32.
We may not be able to cover fully.
That's okay.
We'll start. किं नु राजेन
गोविन्दा किं भोगै जीवितेन वा येषामर्थे काङ्क्षितं नो राज्यं भोगासुखानि च ताहि मे वस्मिता युद्धे प्राणं त्यक्त्वा धनानि च आचार्या पितरा पुत्रा तथैव चापितामहः मातुला स्वासुरा पौत्रा शाल्या सम्बन्धिनस्तदा एतान्नहन्तुमिच्छामि नातोऽपि मधुसूदन अपि त्रैलोक्यराजस्य एतो किं नु मणिकृते नैत्या दातराश्राना का प्रीतिस्या जनार्दन किं नो राजेन गोविन्दा किं भोगै जीवितेन वा येषामर्थे काङ्क्षितं नो राज्यं भोगासुखानि च ताहि मे अवस्थिता युद्धे प्राणां त्यक्त्वा धनानि च आचार्या पितरा पुत्रस्तथैव च पितामहः
matula swasura pautra shala sambandhinastata etanam antum icchami gnato api madhusudana api trailokya rajasya heto kinnu mahi krute nihatya dratarashtana kapriti syajanatana. So there are three names of Krishna in this verse. Let's read the translation and let's see who will detect that.
Govinda.
Last one?
Janardana.
Oh, okay. Yes, fourth mark. Okay, we can read the translation.
O Govinda, of what avail to us our kingdom, happiness of even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrive on this battlefield. O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, father-in-law, grandsons, brother-in-law and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will be derived from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra?
So here Arjuna is giving a strong argument. Even if I get the three worlds, I am not going to fight, let alone this earth. So he's saying, whatever you're going to tell Krishna, I'm not going to fight. It's like that, he's giving that strong.
So he has made up that, you know, resolve that he's not going to fight. And it's all is based on his own idea. He's telling all this, right? So many things. And so what does Govinda mean?
We'll read the purpose, four lines.
We'll ask this.
Okay.
Do you know the meaning? Why is it called Govinda?
No. Arjuna has addressed Lord Krishna as Govinda because Krishna is the object of all pleasures for cows and the senses. By using this significant word, Arjuna indicates that Krishna should understand what will satisfy Arjuna's senses. But Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. If we try to satisfy the senses of Govinda, however, then automatically our own senses are satisfied. Materially, everyone wants to satisfy his senses, and he wants God to be the order supplier for such satisfaction. The Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entities as much as they deserve, but not to the extent that they may
covet.
But when one takes the opposite way, namely, when one tries to satisfy the senses of Govinda without desiring to satisfy one's own senses, then by the grace of Govinda, all desires of the living entity are satisfied.
Yeah, we need to stop here now.
So Govinda means, who gives pleasure to cows and senses. And Prabhupada very clearly says.
So what is Arjuna thinking by saying Govinda?
It's no use satisfying my senses,
whatever. So he gives pleasure to cows and senses. So I also have senses. As Krishna, please satisfy my senses.
Basically, his desire. He has a strong desire that he doesn't want to fight. So he wants Krishna to satisfy that desire.
So what is the point Prabhupada is telling?
We should not try to satisfy our senses.
Then automatically, because our senses are also part and parcel of the Lord, as we are part and parcel of the Lord. So when we serve the Lord, automatically we will be satisfied. All of you have experience of that?
Yeah.
Any examples you want to share?
Still not elevated.
Somebody said yes. Share some example, Mataji.
Like we stop taking some stuff at home, for example. Earlier we used to think that if we don't have that, we can't live or something like. Initially, when we stop tea, we're getting headache. Now we don't drink things and then it's fine. So what I'm saying is, I think we're trying to focus and no, I'm saying because I'm trying to give up coffee, but I'm caffeine addicted, completely addicted. I can't give up. I get severe headaches. And I'm like, my wife won't come near me if I've not had coffee.
We reduce it. So initially two, then we make it one, then coffee. Like once in a while, then we stop it. So what?
We should apply the same.
All these things, whatever we are doing, actually we are more happy than before.
Okay. That's very good. Yeah. And another point is, Lord will satisfy, this is about, this Prabhupada is talking about non-devotees. So the Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entities as much as they deserve, but not to the extent that they may covet. Covet means greed. Yeah, so Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entities as much as they deserve, according to karma. Like you have, if you have to get certain material happiness, if you have to get some food, according to karma, destiny, you are going to get it and that's how much you will satisfy. But not according to greed. Okay, suddenly I desire, I have to get, you know, become a billionaire or something. You just keep desiring, it's not going to happen. Unless the Lord sanctions it according to your karma. But when one takes the opposite way, so that means when one starts becoming devotee, what will happen? When one tries to satisfy the senses of Govinda without desiring to satisfy one's own senses, then by the grace of Govinda, all the desires of the living entity are satisfied. Because why? Because his desires will no longer be material. See, when one wants to serve only Govinda and nothing else, his desires are completely spiritual. So Krishna has no problem fulfilling our spiritual desires. He has problem with material desires because we are going to get entangled and going to go far away from him. He doesn't like that. So that's actually this word, I was so materialistic. So when initially I heard that, you know, like when you come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna is going to fulfill all our desires, then I was thinking, what a jackpot. I'm trying so much for so many material enjoyment and I have to struggle so much for getting even small thing. After that I get little bit, it goes away and then still I'm frustrated. So much struggle. But here, if I have some small spiritual desire, Krishna will arrange everything to fulfill that desire. So, it's so such easy, right? So nice actually. I thought, oh, let me try. So like that. But slowly we realize, okay, core desire, we want to serve Krishna, we want to surrender to Krishna. But as we get purified, we see that our desires are so much covered with so many layers of material, as I mentioned, like, you know, so much I want recognition, I want appreciation. These are all subtle desires we have. So Krishna will gradually cleanse them also during the process of devotional service.
So and also there is a very important point in the lines we read. Materially everyone wants to satisfy his senses. And he wants God to be
order supplier.
Very interesting, right? But that's what we are taught. When we are from the childhood, that's what we are taught. If you want something, you go and ask. Right?
So, who else will we ask? It's better we ask him, right?
Yeah, that's one level. Yes, that's correct. At one stage, it's good. At least you should approach God. At least we have that much faith.
Yeah. These are considered pious people.
Yeah, at least they are considered in a pious category. But no, you see most of the atheistic people also, they don't even believe, right? At least people who go to Lord and, you know, at least they believe that there is a, that's one level. But
higher level
is, we should not take God as the order supplier.
And
what's the technique here in this few lines we read? That's a technique to be happy. So how can we, that's a simple technique, it's mentioned here.
So God senses everything automatically.
Yeah, so if you see, whatever we are doing, everyday activities, what are we doing for?
Awesome.
To be happy, right? To be happy, you go to work, earn money, what do you do with the money? You maintain your whole family, everything, right? So everything we are trying to, you know, to bring that happiness. But here, the very simple technique, if you serve God, automatically everything will be, you know, God will take care. So it's a simple technique, but
Difficult to follow, difficult to apply.
So devotional service is a very simple process, but it's a complicated for
complicated people.
Because we are so complicated.
Yeah,
we are so complicated. We are making the process complicated. But the devotional service is very simple, right? Simple technique. Instead of pleasing our senses and taking God for, you know, order supplier, you serve Him. And it's not that it's not, you know, you shoot something in the sky. It's not like that. As serve means it's not everybody will have their own idea. According to the scriptures, we will discuss that. It's not that if somebody says, you know, we have to serve God, that means it's not according to our own concoction. There is a scripture and it said how to serve God. So you have to just follow that process.
Hmm. Where does that say?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
How to serve and God?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's of course, it's Bhagavad Gita is all about that. How to serve. We'll come across. Yeah, we'll go through.
It is one instruction topic. Krishna gives, right? What to offer to the Lord?
Yeah.
Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham tadartam bhakti upahartam asnami prayatatmanaha. So this is patram pushpam phalam toyam. Flower, patram is leaf, pushpam flower, phalam is fruit, toyam is water. Four of these you give me with love and devotion, I will accept it. If Krishna wanted meat or something else, he would have expressed it. So Prabhupada is so much Krishna Bhakta. He once told, actually, our religion or whatever our philosophy is not to become vegetarian. We don't advertise to people saying become vegetarian. We are saying become Krishnatarian, become Krishna's devotee. If Krishna says he wants to eat meat, we will eat meat. So his point is not about the principle of eating, not eating veg, non-veg.
Not a vegetarian.
So. Principle is about doing what Krishna says. Because that is bhakti. This is at a material platform. I will not eat this. So many people say vegan, I will not drink milk, I will not all this. But what is the platform? Whom they are serving? What is the guidance? Here we do whatever Krishna says.
934, right? Or 865. Let's go to 9. So you asked, right, what instructions? Let's go to 934.
So many instructions Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Manmana bhavam. 934, yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishati yuktaitva atmanam madparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely will come to me.
So what are the instructions in this one?
There is another verse, Krishna says, Yat Karoshi.
No, that also is 865 also. Let's go to 865.
Of course, the whole Bhagavad Gita is instructions of Krishna, right?
1865, sorry.
Number
one. So, it's repeating twice.
704.
Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishya satyante pratijane priyosine. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear, very dear friend. The other one is yat karoshi yat yashnashi yat juhoshi dadashi yat yat tapasyasya kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So, verse number, I am looking at the index. Okay. So 927, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So this whole life it takes for us to do this. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever sacrifice austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me.
So it's all in Bhagavad Gita, it's all about, you know, it has all the instructions and all the process. So nothing is, what do you say?
Blurry or unclear.
Yeah, it's not, nothing is, you know, unclear. Everything is properly put together. It's no grey matter.
One more way, maybe this also. Nanyas chintena tumha, yejana
pariyupasana, yeshram,
yeshram, he promises actually. And that, right? Okay, let's...
926 has that patram pushpa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 9th chapter is confidential.
Confidential. Okay, let's go to that. Let's try to finish.
Next section.
So, Govinda is all about that.
So, next point is... next point Arjuna is going to say, Prabhupada is going to say how Arjuna doesn't want to fight because he doesn't have anybody to share his victory with. So, Arjuna's deep affection for community.
Arjuna's deep affection for community and family members is exhibited here partly due to his natural compassion for them. He is therefore not prepared to fight. Everyone wants to show his opulence to friends and relatives, but Arjuna fears that all his relatives and friends will be killed on the battlefield and he will be unable to share his opulence after victory. This is a typical calculation of material life. The transcendental life, however, is different. Since a devotee wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord, he can, Lord willing, accept all kinds of opulence for the service of the Lord.
And if the Lord is not willing?
And if the Lord is not willing, he should not accept a
fourth thing. Okay, we can pause here for just a few minutes. So first point Prabhupada is telling is Arjuna doesn't want to fight because he doesn't have anybody to share his opulence with. That's one point. And what does Prabhupada classify that consciousness as? Okay. It's material, basically material calculation.
Mm.
Right? Material calculation is how much happiness I'm going to get. That's what we define, right? Lust is for me, love is for Krishna.
Mm.
Right? What distinguishes something as material and spiritual? Who is the beneficiary? If it's me, then it's material. If it's Krishna, then it's spiritual. And what is the spiritual calculation? Prabhupada defines that. Spiritual calculation.
Love God.
Share the opulences of the service of the Lord.
Spiritual calculation is that one devotee wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Lord is willing, whatever opulences he is going to get, he is going to use it in service of the Lord. If he doesn't get anything, he is not going to use it.
So that's what.
So basically, complete surrender.
So that's Yukta Vairagya. So anything we get, we can use it in the service of the Lord. Like for example, you get a lot of money, so you cannot just give up, saying I don't want to touch this, I will get into Maya. If I take that money, I may get into Maya, right? So that's not the right way of understanding. The right way of understanding is, even if you get that money, I can use that in the service of the Lord. So that's the Yukta Vairagya.
But doesn't mean in that case, okay, I'm going to go gambling so I can get more money, so I can use it in service of the Lord. So Yukta Vairagya especially should be very much guided. Especially in our neophyte stage, it should be very much guided. So there's some point about this examples. This is actually it's one of the principles of surrender. It, in Sanskrit, it's called anukulasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So anukulyasya means whatever is favorable. Sankalpa means I'm going to accept. Pratikulyasya means whatever is unfavorable will varjanam. I'm going to reject. Whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, I am going to accept. Whatever is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, I am going to reject. So, this is the first two principles of surrender. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. It's all based on how it's going to help me and my family or whoever is related to me in Krishna consciousness. If it's going to help them come closer to Krishna, me closer to Krishna. See, for example, moving closer to temple. In so many ways, it's favorable to Krishna consciousness. Of course, it may mean I have to commute every day. But maybe there is a metro I could take where I can read. So many things, right? So overall, you can see it's actually more favorable to Krishna consciousness. So I should not hesitate. Oh, I have to go far away. I miss so many things. So that is one aspect of surrender. But at the same time, if for some other reason, spiritual master, somebody says, okay, you go here, or you live here, or stay, do here, do something. Doing that is surrender. Because whatever instructions we follow from them, that is going to make us come closer to Krishna. And Prabhupada gave an example, like Goswamis, six Goswamis we see in the altar, right? At that time, they were examples of renunciation. So they completely, you know, they used to wear just the kopins and whole time, 2 hours they used to sleep, and they used to write so many literatures and whatever instructions Mahaprabhu has given them, somewhere building temples, somewhere writing literatures, like that. So they lived such a renounced life, and they used to sleep every night in one tree. Later on, Prabhupada, when he went to West, everything, 1 year there was a struggle, as we all know. After that, Prabhupada started building temples. At the end of his 10 years, he built 108 temples. So once Prabhupada told, Goswamis had to live under the tree every night, but Krishna gave me one big palace every day to sleep, spend my night.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean Prabhupada is enjoying that. His mood is still, actually, both of them have the same mood of surrender and renunciation. Their renunciation is to adjust to circumstances there and whatever is required for the service. And Prabhupada's renunciation is to accept whatever is required for his service. Prabhupada had to fly through the flights in order to travel all over the world. If he says, oh, I'm a sannyasi, I'm an old man, I should not fly. It's not according to, you know, typical thing about sadhus. Then how the preaching is going to come? So he accepted that. So-called opulence for service of the Lord. So that is real renunciation. Okay.
Arjuna? Arjuna did not want to kill his relatives, and if there were any need to kill them, he desired that Krishna kill them personally. At this point, he did not know that Krishna had already killed them before their coming into the battlefield, and that he was only to become an instrument for Krishna. This fact is disclosed
in the following chapters. Okay, so the verse related to this becoming an instrument is 11.33. You can make a note where Krishna says, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachi. Krishna says, Arjuna, just become an instrument. These people, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachi, 11.33. Where Krishna is saying, these people are already killed, you just become an instrument. So we are not going to read there. We'll continue with this. So what is the point here? Is Arjuna is calling Krishna Janardana. So Janardana, Madhusudana also, Janardana also. So Janardana meaning is actually protector of all living entities. So Arjuna is telling, you are protector of all living entities, then why you want me to kill these people? And if at all you want me to kill, you only kill. Because if you kill, you are not going to get any reaction. If I kill, I am going to get reaction. So you do this. But actually, Krishna already killed. He wants Arjuna to take the credit. That he is hesitating. Because when he shows his universal form, Krishna shows actually that all these Kauravas, everybody, are going into his mouth and they are dead. So then that's when he says this verse. And another point is, because Krishna is addressed here as Madhusudana. Right? Madhusudana means killer of demon Madhu. And Murari also. So he is a killer of demons. Then why, Krishna, you are asking me to kill my relatives? Demons, okay, we can kill, reasonable, we can understand. Real relatives means maybe we should be compassionate, right? Why you are asking me to kill my relatives? So these are the two meanings of why he uses the names of Krishna.
See, Arjuna is so smart. He's using all kind of excuses, right, to prove his point that he doesn't want to fight.
Okay, I can move.
It's in India.
As a natural devotee of the Lord, Arjuna did not like to
retaliate
against his miscreant cousins and brothers, but it was the Lord's plan that they should all be killed. The devotee of the Lord does not
retaliate against the wrongdoer.
But the Lord does not tolerate any mischief done against
the devotee
by the miscreants. The Lord can excuse a person on his own account, but he excuses no one who has done harm to his devotees. Therefore, the Lord was determined to kill the miscreants, although Arjuna wanted to excuse him.
excuse them. So basically Arjuna, being soft hearted, he is willing to forgive all the people who committed so many atrocities against them. Because naturally people want to, devotees especially want to forgive. But the point is, Krishna doesn't want to forgive them. Because Krishna takes offense to his devotee more seriously than offense to him personally. Do we have any examples narrating that point relating?
Shishupal.
Yeah. So Shishupal, Krishna can tell people.
He was continuously cursing Krishna, right? His boon was that he can curse up to 100 times. And if he cursed the 101st time, he will be
99 times.
So 100 times he will be killed. So that fellow kept cursing 99 times, take a deep breath, curse again, you know, curse, thief, robber, whatever, right? Then finally one day in front of all the Rajya Sabha, he starts cursing again, this fellow is unfit to be here, why is he here, and robber, thief, all that. He gives him warning at 98, you have one more, but he doesn't stop there, doesn't take a breath, finishes that 99, 100. The chakra comes, takes that fellow's head off, and his soul merges with Krishna, even though he has been cursing Krishna all the way.
So what I heard is actually the 100th thing which is going to, he says, it's against Yudhishthira Maharaj. 99 he said against Krishna. Probably he would have forgiven also. But 100th one he told against Yudhishthira Maharaj, that he invited Krishna and he wanted him to be the leader of this Rajasuya Yajna. So he told something against Yudhishthira Maharaj, that's all, finished. So that's the thing I got from this thing. Like, Krishna is willing to, you know, take so many offenses, but the moment somebody, you know, disturbs his devotees, he doesn't want to forgive. So like a parent, right? Parent, whatever somebody tells to us, maybe little bit we are okay, but somebody, you know, says something to our children, they become very furious. So same thing. Krishna is our parent. So, especially devotees, Krishna protects like anything.
Velukudi was also saying further, right? Arjuna was telling that not just because you can curse Krishna and go, it's just that when he's uttered the 100th thing and he was about to depart from his body, he saw his true form and he surrendered to Krishna, repented for him, for his offenses, and that's why he. And again, he was also saying about this devotees, right? Don't offend the Lord Shiva.
Yeah. Another example is the Prahlad Maharaj, right? Hiranyakashipu tortured him like anything. Then Narasimhadev, he had to come to just one complete incarnation to protect Prahlad. Full incarnation. So he came and he killed Hiranyakashipu and protected Prahlad.
Okay.
Yeah.